Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We need to be fired for the fight. And we need to be fired for the fight because it is of Christians to suffer. The reason that we suffer, the scriptures say, is because our Lord Jesus Christ before us also suffered. His suffering was for our salvation, for our atonement, to work what was needed in order to return us to God, as we sang in that great hymn today. Our suffering does not have that purpose, but it is so connected with Jesus' suffering that the scriptures say such amazing things like we are filling up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, that we are making up the difference, that we are joined to him in his sufferings, that ours have their meaning in his. And the first place that Paul wants to speak about that is with the office of the holy ministry itself, actually. He begins here, what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. This means two things. It means, first of all, that the content and the purpose and the selling point of what a Christian preacher has to bring is the message of Jesus Christ, the word concerning him, the word that delivers him, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. We're not out here to, as many have said, sell ourselves, but we are to sell him. More on that in a moment. But the other thing it means is that we are not proclaiming ourselves as the Lord's here, but we are proclaiming Jesus Christ to be the Lord. Now, that's a rich phrase, of course. Jesus Christ is Lord is the heart of all of our creeds and our confessions. It's the confession for which the martyrs were put to death, refusing to acknowledge anyone else as Lord, even for a moment, even with fingers crossed behind their backs. So then it shows that ministers of the gospel are not to lord it over one another, as even Jesus said. Rather, they are to be servants of those that they preach to. But they are always servants for Jesus' sake. If they were servants only for the sake of the people that they served, they would be what Paul condemns when he writes to Timothy and says, you have to watch out for people who have itching ears and are looking for somebody who's going to scratch them in just the right place. Right, this is the thing they're saying AI is increasingly good at doing, is scratching our ears where we like to hear it, telling us back what we want to hear, and maybe going over the things that we don't want to hear that might challenge the argument or whatever the question was. Nothing new. They learned that trick from us. And that is always what the sinful heart seeks after, is someone who will justify me in my actions and myself. No, this is why we must be servants for Jesus' sake of his church. For Jesus' sake here means according to his purposes and his command. This is what you've learned from the catechism. I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us according to his divine command, And together with that, also that they would not spend so much time dealing with us according to other commands, maybe their own. But they are your servants, so that you would be the goal and the beneficiary of everything that Jesus Christ has for you. Everything that he has done, everything that he did in that great hymn's recitation of the creed, and every work of Christ Jesus that is done for your benefit, that he is for you, that he gives you the righteousness that he has earned, the righteousness that he has, taking away your sins. Now Paul talks a little bit about why we are not the Lord's and we are not the content of our own preaching. God said in the beginning, let light shine out of darkness, out of nothing, actually, we could say. And then Paul kind of puts himself down. He says, well, the Lord and his light have shone in our hearts. Well, what does that make us and what does that make our hearts? But darkness, but nothing, something that doesn't matter, something that's not going to produce very much. This is the point. The preaching of God that is so powerful, the Word of God that enlivens, that gives faith, that even raises from the dead, and of course has created this whole world simply by speaking it. This light doesn't originate in me or you. It doesn't arise out of mankind or our great ideas. It comes only from God. And in fact, to drive that home, how surpassingly powerful God's word is, he, in his wisdom that is much wiser than ours, has chosen to deliver it by means of nothings, by means of dark people even. He puts it into the hearts of humans to speak, so that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, something bright indeed, something that led the children of Israel through the wilderness, something that held back the enemies at the Red Sea, something that came to dwell as a beacon and a source of comfort for them over the tabernacle in the center of their camp, this glory of God would be revealed. But revealed not in the face of wise preachers or capable church leaders, but revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, revealed in his incarnation. Again, everything we sang, that Christ is in fact the one who reveals the glory of God to us, as we see so vividly on the Mount of Transfiguration, that when we are left seeing nothing but Jesus only, we actually still are beholding the great and glorious face of God. Indeed, we are beholding the one who gives them to us, who shows that his purposes of his work and his word and his ministry are for the benefits of sinners, to save them. Paul goes on, we have this treasure in jars of clay, a contrast, something that is not particularly glamorous, something that is perhaps a little fragile, holding something very valuable. This is what it is to have a preacher. This is what it is to invest in a preacher, not to decorate him so that he is very interesting looking, not to gird him up so he's very strong in himself and self-confident, but to fill him with precious treasure, like a scribe who can pull out of his treasure chest things that are old and new and fit to the purpose, able to divide the Word of God and portion it out as it is needed. And the reason for this is to show the surpassing power isn't the man. It isn't the way that he touches my heart, the way that he puts it just right today, the way that he always comes with a warm smile. It would be nice if a pastor were kind too. But the treasure is what he brings. It's Jesus Christ, not himself, that he is proclaiming. That's where the power resides. Now, what is so dingy or fragile about the jars of clay that the Lord sends, his ministers? Well, here's where we get what we started with. The fact that preachers of God should expect to face suffering and persecution. This is what Jesus spent so much of the night on which he was betrayed teaching to his disciples, showing in that long discourse in John 14 to 16 all of the things that they can expect for being his servants, namely to be like their master, to look just like him on the outside, weak, suffering, many of them put to death, or as Paul says it, afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, with so much threat that we would be crushed and driven to despair and feel as if we have been forsaken by God, the one who sent us by his command. But Paul says, even though we bear all these things, it's true, we are not yet totally smashed pots. We are not driven to despair. We are not forsaken. We are not destroyed. How could that be? Only because of the surpassing power of his truth, of Jesus Christ and his revelation of his benefits to us first, that enables a minister to keep on preaching and to endure this. Paul then shows again what he said at the beginning, how we are here to proclaim not ourselves, who are in fact wasting away through suffering, but to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and to do it always for his sake as servants to the people of God that he loves. He says that his ministers carry in their bodies the death of Jesus. Here again, he is connecting the sufferings of those who proclaim and teach, and by extension, those who assist in that proclamation, which is all of us here, those of us who bear the word of God face suffering and persecution so that we look like Jesus Christ, so that we are just like our master. But this is so that the life of Jesus may be manifested also in our bodies. Here again, he means two things, summarized by what Paul writes to his protege when he says, "By pay attention to the word and the preaching that you're giving, because by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." And that is that the life of Jesus is manifested in those who, like weak and clay pots, are always still proclaiming him as their confidence, showing that even though they have no confidence in anything else, certainly not in themselves in this life, yet something is driving them on, firing them for the fight. It is the message that the saints in heaven are enjoying and proclaiming and praying in as well. It is the work of Jesus Christ and his life that has given us life. But it also means so that the life of Jesus may raise these crucified dead bodies at the last day, which of course is our hope, all of us. That as we waste away, as we face persecution or suffering for the name of Christ, we must remember and be confident at all times that he is the God who raises the dead. That we not give up what we have for something cheaper, as Esau did. That we not imagine that it is up to us to save our life, to preserve ourselves, to make ourselves something much sturdier than clay that might break. No. Our Lord is the one who raises the dead. If it shall be then that we die for this faith, we are in great shape to be raised by him. We look just like him. We have borne his marks. And so many hymns sing just that, that who there my cross has shared will find in eternal life a crown prepared, and who there with me has died will here be glorified. Thanks be to God, it is not ourselves that gives us the source of our confidence and our hope. That would lead us to crushing despair, forsakenness, and destruction for sure. Thanks be to God, Christ Jesus is Lord. He has suffered and died and risen again to redeem us and to give us the certainty of everlasting life. And that is a message worthy of the name treasure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.